Hey, deep divers, welcome back for another deep dive. You guys know how we do it around here. We take the source material you sent and go deep.
That's right, we dive deep.
Today, it's all about the Business Model Canvas, or the BMC, as I'm sure we'll be calling it.
Right.
Which, by the way, is a really, really popular tool, like seriously popular
yeah.
for mapping out, you know, like your whole business strategy.
Business, yeah.
And we're looking at the PDF you sent. Businessmodelcanvas.pdf, which, let me tell you, looks super comprehensive.
Yeah, it's got a lot of good stuff.
So maybe you're like prepping for a big meeting or thinking about launching something new, or even if you're just kind of curious about this whole BMC thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people have heard of the BMC.
Right.
But they may not really know what it is or how to use it.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can, you know, provide some clarity on that today.
Totally. So get ready, because we're going to unpack why the BMC is so widely used, how it can help, you know, like boost your chances of success. And we're even going to break down its 9 key components using some examples you've probably heard of, like, oh, Airbnb and Uber, for example.
Yeah, those are good examples of companies that have really used the BMC effectively.
Right. So they're kind of like the poster children for the BMC, would you say?
I think so.
Okay, cool. So, you know, I was looking at this PDF and I was kind of blown away by it, like, just how simple the BMC is.
Right. I mean, that's kind of the beauty of it, right?
Right.
It takes something really complex, like business strategy.
Yeah.
And it boils it down to, you know, these 9, like you said, these 9 interconnected sections.
Yeah.
It's a 1-page blueprint for your entire business.
So we're not just talking about like a boring old text document, right?
Oh, no, definitely not.
This is a visual thing.
It's visual, yeah. I mean, you can do it in a text document if you want, but it's not going to be as effective.
Right. So you're saying the visual layout is like key to making it work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, why?
Well, it's a game changer when it comes to team alignment.
Okay.
Because everyone literally sees the same picture.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Right. And that shared visual really opens up the discussion. It sparks brainstorming.
Yeah.
And it really kind of encourages everyone to contribute their ideas and perspectives.
Mm-hmm. So everyone's on the same page. You have that shared vision. And then it also encourages those open discussions.
Right.
Okay. I like it. And, you know, I think what I really like about it, too, is that it seems like it's really adaptable.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like you could use it for, I mean, obviously a startup, but you could use it for, you know, like an established company that's maybe trying to launch a new product line or explore a new market, right?
Absolutely. Mm. And it's a great way for startups to validate their assumptions early on and for established companies to, you know, kind of explore new directions. It's a very flexible tool.
So it's versatile, helps teams work better together. But does it actually move the needle on business success? Like, are we talking about a real impact here?
Well, the Harvard Business Review found that companies using the BMC are 33% more likely to succeed.
33%?
Yeah.
That's huge.
It is. It's a pretty significant number.
So I'm guessing that's because, like, it helps you spot potential problems before they become, like, major disasters.
Right. I mean, one of the big benefits is that it acts like an early warning system.
Okay.
So you can spot inconsistencies or flaws in your strategy early on, which means you can make adjustments before you invest too much time, energy, and resources.
Right. So you're not like 10 steps down the road and suddenly realize, oh, we should have taken a left turn back there.
Exactly.
Now we have to backtrack. Okay, so it helps you avoid those facepalm moments?
Definitely. Definitely. And that ability to pivot quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's crucial in today's market.
Right.
Things are constantly changing.
Yeah.
Things are changing so fast. And like, you know, consumers are fickle.
Yeah.
And there's new competition popping up all the time. So, yeah, you got to be able to adapt. So it can help you avoid those pitfalls. But also, it can help you grow in a more, like, sustainable way.
Right? Absolutely. By understanding, you know, which channels and customer relationships are actually driving revenue, you can prioritize those resources and double down on what's working.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not just throwing money at everything. You're being strategic about
it. Okay, yeah. I like it. So it's not just about, like, you know, putting out fires and avoiding those disasters.
Yeah.
It's actually about, like, setting yourself up for long-term success.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm sold. Let's break this thing down, shall we?
Let's do it.
What are these, like, 9 magical building blocks of the business model canvas? I'm picturing, like, 9 puzzle pieces that, like, fit together to create a complete picture.
That's a great analogy. And yeah, each piece is interconnected. And the first thing you got to figure out is, who are you trying to reach? And that's where customer segments come in.
Okay, customer segments. So this is like, who are you serving? This seems like pretty basic, but I bet a lot of businesses like mess this up.
You'd be surprised. Yeah, it's really important to define your primary customer segments, those who generate, you know, most of your revenue.
Right.
And then you also have secondary segments, those who might play a supporting role.
Okay.
Or who have the potential to become primary customers later on.
So is this like the difference between like selling like a one size fits all product versus something that's like, you know, more tailored to a niche market?
That's a great way to put it.
Okay. So we've got our customer segments nailed down.
Yep.
Now what's next?
All right. So once you know exactly who you're targeting, then comes the fun part, defining your value propositions.
Okay. Value propositions. So this is where we answer the question. Why should they choose us?
Exactly.
Like what problem are we solving that nobody else is solving quite like us?
Right. Are you offering faster service, lower prices, a more intuitive user experience?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's that special sauce?
Right.
What's that unique thing that sets you apart?
Okay, so I'm thinking like, you know, Apple, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Like their value proposition is all about like sleek design, seamless user experience, kind of that sense of prestige, right?
Exactly.
And then I think about Airbnb,
mm-hmm.
and they're all about like authentic travel experiences,
yes.
like connecting people with like unique accommodations in local neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And you're not just staying in like some generic hotel room.
Right.
You're actually getting like a taste of what it's like to live in that city.
Yeah, you're immersed in the culture.
Immersed in the culture, yeah. So is it kind of dangerous to just assume you know your value proposition?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can make assumptions based on, you know, your knowledge of the market and your product or service.
Mm-hmm.
But you really need to talk to your customers.
Okay.
You need to find out why they chose you. Does it align with what you think you're offering?
Right.
That feedback loop is essential.
So don't get stuck in your own little bubble, right?
No, definitely not.
Like, get out there, talk to your customers, see what they're saying.
Yeah. And you might be surprised by what you hear.
Right. Because sometimes what you think you're selling is not actually what they're buying.
Exactly.
It's the perception that matters. Okay, so we've got our ideal customer. Mm-hmm. We've got our value proposition.
Mm-hmm.
Now we need to blast our message from the mountaintops, right? We need to like get the word out there.
Well, not exactly. It's not just about shouting your message as loud as possible.
No.
It's more about being strategic and choosing the right channels.
Okay. Channels.
Yeah, channels.
So this is how we're reaching our customers.
Exactly.
Okay. So this is, I mean, I'm assuming this is like your website, your social media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, email marketing, all that good stuff.
Right. All of your online channels.
Right. But also like offline too, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, you know, you still have brick and mortar stores.
Mm-hmm.
You have, you know, events.
Events, partnerships.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth, yeah. It's about finding the right mix.
Okay.
That aligns with your target audience and your overall strategy.
And I guess like thinking about the cost effectiveness too, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Because some of those channels are going to be like, you know, pretty expensive.
Right.
And some are going to be more budget friendly. So
yeah.
you got to weigh those options.
You have to be strategic about it.
Strategic.
Yeah.
All right. I like it. So we got to make sure those channels are working for us.
Yes.
Not the other way around.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So you've established your channels. Now you've got to think about like the kind of relationship you're building with your customers.
Yes, absolutely. That's where customer relationships come in.
Okay, customer relationships. So this is like, are you offering, you know, like personalized support, like dedicated account managers, or are you relying more on like, you know, automated services?
Right.
Chatbot, self-service options, all that.
Yeah.
And I know some companies, they do a really great job of like building communities around their brand.
Yeah. And that's a powerful approach.
Right. And that creates like this sense of belonging for their customers.
And it really impacts customer satisfaction and retention.
Right. Because happy customers are like, you know, walking, talking billboards for your brand. They're going to tell their friends.
Yeah. Word of mouth is incredibly powerful.
Incredibly powerful. Okay. So we figured out who we're serving, what makes us special, how we reach them, how we build those relationships.
Mm-hmm. Now let's get down to brass tacks. How do we actually make money?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Yeah.
So this is where revenue streams, right? Revenue streams.
Yes. Revenue streams. It's all about outlining how you generate income from each customer segment.
Okay. So break it down for me. What are some of the different types of revenue streams?
So you might have, you know, transactional revenue, like one-time purchases, or you might have recurring revenue from subscriptions or memberships.
Okay.
Maybe you have a platform with a large audience and you generate revenue through advertising or sponsorships.
Right, right. So it's kind of like diversify your revenue streams, just like you diversify your investment portfolio, right?
Nice analogy.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. And then, of course, like, your pricing strategy has to align with, you know, your value proposition and your target audience, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, high-end products, they command a premium price.
Right.
Whereas, like, you know, budget-friendly options, they rely on volume.
Right.
Maybe a smaller profit margin per unit.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So we've got the money part figured out. Now we need like, stuff to make it all happen, right? Well, we need resources.
Yes, you need your key resources.
Okay, resources.
These are the essential ingredients that make your business tick.
So break it down for me. What are we talking about here?
We're talking about physical resources, like office space, manufacturing equipment, your supply chain.
Okay.
Intellectual property, patents, copyrights, proprietary software.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, the human element.
Mm.
Your talented team.
Right, your team. Because without them, nothing happens.
Exactly.
And let's not forget the financial resources,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Every business needs capital.
You need the fuel to keep the engine running.
To keep the engine running, yeah. Right. Whether it's from investors or loans or good old-fashioned bootstrapping.
Right. However you get it, you need it.
You need it. All right. So you've got your resources in place. Now you need to like define what you're actually going to do, right? Like what are the actual tasks?
Yeah. You need to define your key activities.
Key activities. Okay.
These are the crucial tasks that keep your business humming along.
So this is where we get into like the nitty gritty.
Exactly. What needs to happen on a daily basis to make it all work?
So are you developing new products?
Hmm.
Are you running marketing campaigns?
Mm-hmm.
Are you managing your supply chain? Are you providing excellent customer support?
Right. And you need to figure out which of those activities are most critical to your success.
So it's not just about like being busy. It's about being strategically busy.
Exactly.
Okay. Focus on the activities that are actually going to move the needle, right?
Right.
That are going to have the biggest impact on your goals.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Now, we've covered a lot of ground here.
Yeah, we have.
We know our target customer.
Uh-huh.
We know our unique value, how we reach them, build relationships, generate revenue, and what resources and activities are like essential to our success.
Right.
But no business operates in a vacuum.
No, they don't.
You've got to like collaborate. You've got to work with others.
You need to think about key partnerships.
Key partnerships. Okay.
These are the collaborations that can really help you, you know, reach new heights.
Okay. So who are we talking about?
Well, think about your suppliers, your distributors.
Okay.
You know, maybe strategic alliances with other businesses that complement your offerings.
So these partnerships, they give you access to things that you might not have on your own,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like expertise, technology.
Technology, new markets.
New markets, okay.
And they can also, you know, help you reduce costs.
Okay, so win-win situation.
Win-win, exactly.
I like it. All right, so I'm loving this whole like collaborative spirit, but let's be real. No business can exist without addressing the like less glamorous side of things.
True.
Expenses.
Right.
We got to talk about the money going out.
Every business has a cost structure.
Okay, cost structure. So this is all of our expenses,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and understanding your cost structure is crucial. So you've got your fixed costs like rent, salaries, utilities, and then you've got your variable costs, which fluctuate, you know, depending on your sales volume.
Okay.
Like materials, shipping, marketing spend.
Okay. So fixed costs are kind of like, you know, always there no matter what.
Right.
Variable costs kind of go up and down.
They fluctuate, yeah.
Depending on, you know, how much you're selling, how much you're producing.
Exactly.
Okay. And we need to be smart about those costs, right? Like always looking for ways to like optimize without sacrificing quality.
Right. So are there ways to negotiate better rates with your suppliers? Mm-hmm. Can you automate certain tasks to reduce labor costs?
Okay.
You know, it's about finding that sweet spot where you're maximizing efficiency,
right,
but without compromising what matters most.
Okay, I like it. So we've talked about like 8 of the 9 building blocks.
Yeah.
What's the 9th one? Oh. Don't leave me hanging.
Well, the 9th element is a bit more conceptual.
Okay.
It's about acknowledging that even with a fantastic tool like the BMC,
yeah,
there are going to be challenges.
Oh, of course.
You're going to hit roadblocks.
Nothing's perfect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But those challenges are actually opportunities.
Okay. I like that. I like that. So challenges equal opportunities. I'm intrigued. So what kind of challenges, or I guess opportunities as you call them,
right,
should we be kind of aware of?
Well, one common pitfall is getting so caught up in the big picture that you overlook important details.
Okay, so you're so focused on the forest, you miss the trees.
Exactly.
Got it. Yeah. How do you avoid that?
You know, having a facilitator during brainstorming sessions can help.
Okay.
Someone who can make sure that every section of the canvas gets adequate attention.
Right, so it's like having an extra set of eyes, basically.
Right, and don't be afraid to get granular.
Okay.
Double check everything, ask clarifying questions.
Okay, got it. What else? What other challenges?
Well, assumptions can be dangerous.
Okay.
It's easy to fill in the blanks based on what you think you know.
Yeah.
But those assumptions need to be validated.
Right. So don't just assume, test it out.
Exactly.
Okay, got it. What else?
You know, unclear target markets can be a problem.
Okay. So you haven't really clearly defined who your ideal customer is.
Right. You can't be everything to everyone.
You'd be everything to everyone.
Okay.
You need to gather data on your existing customers, mm-hmm, analyze their buying patterns, and really refine those customer segment definitions.
So you know who you're targeting.
Then you got to make sure your distribution channels can handle the flow, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I'm seeing a pattern here. Define your target audience, test your assumptions, choose the right channels. Mm. It's all connected.
It's all connected, yeah.
But how do we keep the BMC from becoming like stagnant? You know, like the business world's constantly changing. How do we make sure our strategy is fresh and relevant?
Well, that's where the concept of a dynamic framework comes in.
Sure.
The BMC shouldn't be a static document.
Okay.
You know, that's just sitting on the shelf gathering dust.
Right.
It needs to be a living document.
Okay.
That evolves along with your business.
So it's not like one and done?
No. Definitely not. Okay. You need to revisit it.
Okay.
You need to make adjustments as needed. You know, maybe quarterly, maybe monthly, depending on, you know, the pace of your industry.
Okay, so it's like launching a ship.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, you got to constantly be adjusting your course.
Right.
Based on, you know, the winds and the currents. It's the feedback, the data you're getting.
Right.
So what are some of the signs that, like, hey, it might be time to revisit, to make an update?
Well, you know, keep a close eye on your key performance indicators.
Okay.
Are you hitting your revenue targets?
Mm-hmm.
Is your customer acquisition cost within an acceptable range?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those metrics will tell you whether your strategy is actually working.
So they're like little clues telling you, hey, something's up.
Right.
You might need to make a little tweak here, a little adjustment there.
Exactly. And don't forget to keep tabs on your competition.
Okay.
What are they up to? Are they offering new features that might, you know, outshine your value proposition?
Right.
Are they engaging in price wars that you need to respond to?
So it's kind of like a constant game of chess, right?
Yeah. You got to be thinking ahead.
You got to be thinking ahead, and you got to be ready to adapt your strategy based on, you know, what your opponents are doing.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we've laid the foundation. We've explored, like, you know, the 9 building blocks of the BMC,
mm-hmm,
talked about, you know, the importance of staying adaptable. Now, I'm really curious to like see this framework in action.
Yeah.
Can we dive into some of those real world examples?
Absolutely. We can take a look at how companies like Airbnb and Uber have used the BMC to achieve incredible success.
Sounds good to me. And after that, we'll like guide our listeners through the process of actually creating their own canvas, right?
You got it. But first, let's take a quick break.
Okay, sounds good. We'll be back in a flash.
We'll be back.
Ready to explore the practical side of the business model canvas.
Let's do it.
All right, deep divers, welcome back. I'm feeling pumped to get into the how-to part of this business model canvas adventure.
Yeah, me too. Let's create something.
Yes, let's create. Okay, so where do we even start with, like, building our own canvas? Like, do we just, like, grab a napkin and start scribbling.
Well, you could, but I recommend a slightly more structured approach.
Okay, slightly more structured.
First things first, gather a team.
Okay, a team.
And I don't just mean your usual suspects.
Oh.
Mix it up. Bring in people from different departments, marketing, finance, product development, even customer service.
Oh, wow.
And you know what? Consider inviting a few of your actual customers.
Oh, interesting.
You'd be amazed at the fresh perspectives they bring.
Diversity of thought.
Exactly.
Love it. Okay, so we've assembled our dream team. What's next?
Next, you'll need a canvas, literally. This can be a big whiteboard or as fancy as a digital collaboration tool like Miro or Lucidchart.
I'm a whiteboard and sticky notes kind of person.
Perfect. Grab those sticky notes and start jotting down ideas under each section of the canvas.
Okay.
Don't overthink it. Just let the ideas flow.
No judgment zone.
Exactly.
It's just pure brainstorming energy.
Okay, and then what? Do we, like, start organizing this beautiful chaos?
You got it. Once you have a good amount of ideas, start grouping them, consolidating similar points, and ditching any that seem irrelevant. So it's like we're sifting through those raw ideas and finding those golden nuggets.
That's a great way to put it.
The ones that really shine and align with our overall strategy.
Exactly. And have a conversation about the impact of each idea. Does it move the needle? Is it feasible? Does it fit with our brand and values?
Right. So it's like we're putting together a puzzle.
Yeah, I like that.
Trying to find the pieces that fit and create a complete and compelling picture.
And once you have a draft you're happy with, it's time for feedback. Share it with stakeholders, investors, mentors.
Feedback is so crucial, right? Like sometimes you're just too close to something and you need that outside perspective.
Absolutely. Encourage people to challenge your assumptions. Poke holes in your logic. Ask tough questions. The more you scrutinize your canvas, the stronger it'll become.
Okay, so brainstorm, group refine, get feedback. We're like rock stars now, right?
Hold your horses, rock star.
Yeah.
The final step is to finalize the canvas, incorporating all that feedback.
Go ahead.
But don't treat it like it's etched in stone. Your canvas needs to breathe, to evolve, to adapt.
So it's not like set it and forget it.
No way. It's a living document.
I like that. Okay, so it's like launching a ship. But then we need to constantly adjust course based on the feedback and data.
That's a great analogy. Now, before you set sail on this entrepreneurial adventure, I've got a few pro tips to help you create a winning BMC.
Okay, pro tips. I'm all ears. Hit me with your best insights.
First, keep it concise. Bullet points, short phrases, get to the point.
Brevity is the soul of wit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to add some visual flair. Color code highlight key points. Make it easy on the eyes.
I'm a very visual person, so I totally agree with that.
And whenever possible, back up your claims with data. Don't just rely on gut feeling or assumptions.
Data-driven decisions, right?
Yes. Now, if you're working with limited time or resources, focus on the high-impact areas. First, revenue streams, key activities, value proposition.
Okay, so prioritize the areas that will really move the needle.
Exactly. And finally, collaboration is key.
I'm sensing a theme here.
The more diverse voices you have in the process, the more robust and innovative your strategy will be.
Love it.
Yeah.
So it's all about tapping into that collective wisdom.
Absolutely. Now, we've talked about creating a business model canvas, but the journey doesn't end there. The real challenge and the real excitement comes from keeping it dynamic.
Okay, dynamic.
Adapting to that ever-changing market and constantly striving for improvement.
Okay, so how do we do that? How do we keep our strategy fresh and relevant when the world's throwing curveballs left and right?
Well, first, schedule regular check-ins with your team to revisit your canvas and make adjustments.
Okay, so like a routine checkup for your business.
Exactly.
I like that.
During these check-ins, look at your key performance indicators. Are you hitting your revenue goals? Is your customer acquisition cost reasonable? Are your customers happy?
So it's like a feedback loop. You're constantly gathering information, analyzing it, and making adjustments.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And don't forget to keep an eye on the competition. What are they doing? Are they offering something new that you need to consider? Are they targeting a new customer segment?
So it's a strategic game. You have to anticipate what your competitors are doing and adapt.
And finally, cultivate a culture of adaptation within your team. Encourage them to be vocal about new ideas or potential problems.
You want everyone to feel empowered to contribute.
Absolutely. In today's world, the ability to adapt is what separates the winners from the also-rans.
Okay, so we've covered a lot, creating a BMC, keeping it dynamic and all that. But there are always little things that can trip us up, even with the best intentions.
You're talking about those often overlooked elements that can sabotage even the best laid plans.
Exactly. What are some of those potential blind spots?
Well, one that often gets overlooked is regulatory compliance.
Oh, right. You can't just launch a business without making sure you're following all the rules, especially in industries like finance or healthcare.
Exactly. Another often overlooked element is customer onboarding.
Okay.
A smooth and engaging onboarding process makes a huge difference in customer satisfaction and retention.
Right. You want to make a good first impression.
And for tech companies, don't neglect your back-end infrastructure. Make sure things are updated, secure, and reliable.
Because you can have the best app in the world, but if the technology behind it is shaky, it won't matter.
And finally, make sure to revisit your partnership agreements. As your business evolves, those agreements might need to be renegotiated.
It's about maintaining those healthy and productive relationships.
Now, we've covered a lot: creating a BMC, keeping it dynamic, avoiding pitfalls. But there's one more piece: collaborative workshops.
Oh, yeah, workshops. We touched on those earlier. I'd love to hear more about how to make them super effective.
Workshops are a fantastic way to brainstorm and refine your strategy, but you need to set them up for success.
Okay, so it's not just about getting people in a room with sticky notes and hoping for the best.
Definitely not. Before the workshop, define the objectives. What are you trying to achieve?
So everyone knows what they're working towards.
Exactly. And to ensure everyone feels heard, incorporate breakout sessions where smaller groups can work on specific parts of the canvas.
Divide and conquer, then come back together with all those insights.
Exactly. And document everything. Take photos, record discussions, have someone take notes.
Capture all those great ideas.
And here's a powerful technique: the five whys.
Five whys, what's that?
When someone presents an idea, ask why five times. Why is this important? Why will it work? Why is this the best approach?
It's about digging deeper to uncover those underlying motivations and assumptions.
Exactly. And finally, celebrate your progress. End with a clear action plan and acknowledge everyone's contributions.
So everyone leaves feeling like they accomplished something.
Now, as we wrap up, let's shift our focus to the long term. How does the BMC contribute to sustainable success?
Okay, that's the question, isn't it? How do we take this and turn it into something that lasts?
Well, I believe the true power of the BMC is its adaptability.
Okay.
The world is constantly changing. The ability to adapt is crucial.
So it's like navigating a ship, you need to be adjusting to the winds and currents.
And the key is continuous learning. Every customer interaction, every sales report, every competitor move offers valuable data.
So it's that feedback loop again, constantly gathering information and adapting.
Exactly. And make small, frequent updates to your canvas. This incremental iteration keeps you aligned with the market.
So small adjustments rather than massive overhauls.
Right. And as you're refining your strategy, keep an eye out for adjacent opportunities.
Adjacent opportunities, what are those?
These are potential markets or customer segments that are related to your current focus, but might require tweaks to your model.
So it's like expanding your territory without straying too far from your core strengths.
Exactly. And if you spot one draft, a mini canvas to explore its viability before committing too many resources.
Okay, so like a test run before you go all in.
Now, before we wrap up, let's recap the key takeaways.
Yes, please, those golden nuggets.
The BMC provides visual clarity. It's all laid out on one page.
Easy to see the big picture.
And companies that use the BMC are more likely to succeed.
It's not just a coincidence.
And it's not a one-time thing. It needs to be revisited and updated.
It's a living document.
We've seen how companies like Airbnb and Uber have used it, but it's for businesses of all sizes.
It's for everyone.
And don't underestimate the power of collaboration.
Bring everyone together.
Review and refine your BMC regularly. Stay curious, stay adaptable, and always look for ways to improve.
Awesome advice. So what are we waiting for? Let's get those canvases rolling.
Hold on, there's one more thing.
Oh, okay, one last thing.
Remember, the BMC isn't just for businesses.
Wait, what?
You can apply these principles to any area of your life.
So I can use the BMC to like improve my personal life too.
Absolutely. You could use it for your career goals, your fitness journey, your relationships.
Wow, that's amazing. So our challenge to the listeners is to think outside the box and see how the BMC can help them achieve their dreams.
Exactly. The BMC is a powerful tool, but it's up to you to use it to create positive change.
Love it. Well said. I think our listeners are ready to create their own canvases and embark on their journeys.
Me too.
Until next time, deep divers, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep pushing the boundaries.
The best is yet to come.
Okay, so we've talked about like the theory behind the BMC and how to actually create one. But I'm ready to see it in action. Like real-world examples. You mentioned Airbnb and Uber before the break.
Yeah, those are great examples. Like Airbnb completely changed the travel game,
Oh,
right?
yeah. I much prefer staying in a cool apartment in a real neighborhood than some boring hotel room.
Exactly. They understood that people craved unique experiences, authentic travel. So they tapped into that desire.
Okay, but how did they actually use the BMC to make it happen?
Well, first, they nailed their customer segments. They focused on budget-conscious travelers, the adventure seekers, people who wanted to experience a city like a local.
Got it. So they knew exactly who they were targeting. What about their value proposition? What made them different from all the other options out there?
Their value proposition was all about offering unique spaces, often in those cool local neighborhoods, at affordable prices. And they made it super easy to book through their platform.
Right, that platform was key. Like their website and app are so user-friendly.
Yeah, that technology was a huge part of their success. But they also built a strong community, like with those reviews and guidelines. They created trust between hosts and guests.
So technology, community, and a focus on unique experiences. It's like a winning combination. How did they make money though? Like what was their revenue model?
Simple, really. They took a service fee on each booking, a cut from both the host and the guest.
Makes sense. And clearly it worked. They disrupted a whole industry. Okay, what about Uber? How did they use the BMC to change the way we get around?
Uber focused on convenience and affordability. They recognized two key customer segments: riders who needed a ride and drivers seeking flexible work.
Yeah, I haven't hailed a cab in ages. It's all about Uber and Lyft these days.
Exactly. Their value proposition was that on-demand service, transparent pricing, being able to track your ride.
Right, it's like having a personal driver, but way more affordable.
And again, their app was the main channel. It connected riders and drivers seamlessly.
It's amazing how technology has made all this possible.
Definitely. And their revenue came from commissions on each ride, with that surge pricing during busy times.
Smart. That kept drivers on the road when they were needed most. So both Airbnb and Uber had like clear customer segments, strong value propositions, and they leveraged technology really well.
Exactly. They also understood their key resources and activities. Uber needed that massive network of drivers, and Airbnb relied heavily on building trust within their community.
Okay, so we've seen how those big companies did it. But you mentioned we could apply the BMC to like our personal lives too.
Absolutely. Let's say you're thinking about a career change. Think of your customer segments as the people you serve in your work: clients, colleagues, your boss.
Okay, interesting. I never thought of it that way. So my value proposition would be like my skills and experience, what makes me stand out.
Exactly. And your channels could be how you're currently networking, or maybe new ways to reach potential employers or clients.
So like LinkedIn, professional organizations, maybe even social media.
Right. Think about the relationships you're building, how you're showcasing your value, and what you want to get out of your career. It doesn't have to be just money, right?
You mean like feeling fulfilled, having opportunities for growth, making a real impact?
Exactly. It's about defining what success looks like for you. Then you can think about the resources, activities, and even partnerships that will help you achieve those goals.
This is blowing my mind. It's like a whole new way of thinking about my career.
And that's the power of the BMC. It's a framework for strategic thinking that you can apply to so many areas of life.
Wow. This deep dive has been incredible. We've gone from like the basics of the business model canvas to seeing it in action with those huge companies, and now even applying it to our own lives.
I hope our listeners feel empowered to start crafting their own canvases and create positive change.
Me too. All right, deep divers, that's a wrap on another deep dive.
Until next time.
Keep those canvases coming, and remember, the best is yet to come.